League Show on Dash Radio, also SoundCloud, iTunes, man. Happy to be in the building, man. Coming from Atlanta, Georgia. Give y'all a quick little synopsis. We are the A-League, focused on the Atlanta Hawks. All season long, we've been covering them and giving you guys a little insight on the team. And really happy to be on board here. It's me, Eric Yeboah. Yeboah NBA is my Twitter. We're going to go around real quick, give y'all our handles, our first names, last names, handles, do all that good stuff. Rashad, what's up?
My name's Rashad Milligan. You can follow me at the _ Dark Knight.
This is David Norwood. My Twitter is DNorwood90.
Jeremy Johnson, Clark _ Kent _75.
Akeem Balaam on Twitter and the gram, AKIEMBAIOUM.
Yep, and we're going to kick off right. This is following yesterday's loss. So the Atlanta Hawks did, season ended yesterday, 115-99 final score against the Washington Wizards. 4-2, very interesting series there. Ended up being on NBA TV. I don't know how many people got to watch it. It was on NBA TV and ESPNU, and probably ESPN Deportes. So it was just on every single network that except for ESPN. But if you guys did miss it, the Hawks didn't show up to about the late third quarter. We're down by 25, came back. Made it a 3-point game, and then Washington, John Wall did what John Wall does. I think from the get-go, I don't know what everybody's prediction was. Real quick, what was everybody's prediction from the beginning of the series? You had
Wizards in 5.
Wizards in 5, David.
Atlanta in 7.
Okay.
I had Wizards in 6.
Wizards in 7.
Same. I had Wizards in 7. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think we can all agree. We can kind of break down just like, let's do a quick recap of the series. Okay. So coming into it, I think it was a couple episodes we talked about the matchups, and it wasn't a good favorable matchup to the Hawks. I think we all can agree on that. And in the end, Bradley Beal, John Wall did what Bradley Beal and John Wall does. So real quick, since he's not there, let's just talk about exactly the 73 points that John Wall had yesterday. 73 points and Bradley Beal combined, they had 73 points together yesterday. Y'all think pretty much it's all about I have a star backcourt, you don't. Is that the difference there in this series, actually? Even though it was close there, it was tied 2-2. Atlanta had a chance there in Game 5. And Games 5 and Game 2, they just didn't. They didn't close the deal. But go ahead, Rashad.
Nah, I don't think the backcourt has much to do with it. Mm-hmm. We just don't match up well with Washington, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's all it is.
Yeah, I just think, teamwork can only take you so far. You know, talent, you need talent. And it's a reason why, you know, Ersan Ilyasova, Jose Calderon, and a lot of these guys are on different teams. You got people with potential, like with Torian Prince, Dennis Schroeder. But, you know, it only takes you so far.
I saw that the Hawks, you know, the two wins, you know, they showed, you know, what they could be. And then in the 4 losses, they showed how bad they really are. I mean, it's a Stars league, and like Rashad said, I just think it was a bad matchup. And I feel like the Stars, the Beal and Wall, did their thing, but I feel like the Hawks could have still have beaten them, you know, if they didn't, you know, let the other guys get going.
Yeah, there was a chance. Go ahead, Kane.
What it was a case of a team, I feel like, that is just going through the motions, you know, sort of like in the middle of the pack of the NBA against a team in Washington that I feel like is really trying to prove itself. Because, you know, for a long time, you know, we talked, you know, so much about, you know, Cleveland being the top dog in the East, which they mm-hmm. are. But Washington is a team that, you know, is just a step below Cleveland. And I feel like Washington was coming into this, maybe coming into this whole playoffs, with a sense of, oh, we really want to prove ourselves. And that showed particularly in the play of John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think, we said that, like, coming in, it felt like they were more on a missionary. They had a goal, a bigger goal than Atlanta did. And not because I thought Atlanta to make it to the second round, and if they were eliminated in the second round this season, I thought that would reach expectations. I was not expecting a conference finals. I was not expecting, obviously, NBA finals. But a second round, like, appearance there for Atlanta this season would be okay, I think, just for the kind of season they had. But Washington, in the end, I do disagree with Rashad. I just think you have a bigger backcourt, bigger backcourt, too much shooting, too dynamic. And it was, in the end, John Wall, took advantage of Dennis Schroeder today. I don't know how many times he put him in the post yesterday. John Wall having the 14 points he did and the way he did it, it was all – most of it was off of picks sometimes with Dennis guarding him or Kent. But a lot of it was – it was literally a one-side-of-the-court thing. And it was just, all right, I'm going to put you in a post. Either I'm going to find a shooter or I'm going to go to the basket. And it was just too big, too strong. And that's even in transition. He was a load for Atlanta, and I don't think no, because I think Dennis deserves a lot of credit as well. Dennis Schroeder stepped up big every single game. He had at least 20 plus, and I got to give him props.
You could argue that Dennis was the only one that showed up in the last.
He did. He was the most consistent one, and he kept his turnovers low. So Dennis Schroeder, I think at least he competed with John Wall. We can give him that. He competed with John Wall. Yeah.
Two things. All right. So if we play Indiana with Paul George as a star, or Chicago with Jimmy Butler as a star, we still probably would have beat them in a 7-game series, right? So I mean, so to say that it was, oh, they have more star power in the backcourt. No, it just wasn't a good matchup. If you had Dwight Howard in the game, John Wall said it himself.
No,
he said. What?
No. But you're saying more.
You're saying more
star in the backcourt.
Yeah.
Backcourt, not.
That's it. But as you said, backcourt and John Wall.
Dennis Schroeder.
John Wall's a bigger guy, so he can just
stronger,
bully
faster.
Him, take him down in the post.
Which you did.
John Wall said in the post game conference, he said, "All right, well, you know, I was getting down in the paint, and they were trying to get me on the post a lot and make it easy for me, because when you take out a guy like Dwight Howard, then it makes it easier down there."
Yeah, completely. So
if Dwight Howard was playing, then you're talking about, you're looking at a whole kind of different thing.
And that's another. Oh, you know, and you're hitting
and
the
part. And you're forcing him to shoot.
Yes.
And we know that John Wall can't always be shooting like that.
No, but John Wall was shooting. We saw
he was, but
yesterday
was
he was. Yesterday
he was hot.
Yeah, he was hot. Yeah,
but it got started down low on the post.
It did.
Getting a little floater, getting back to the basket on Dennis, and you know, hitting. You know, he was making some moves I ain't never seen John Wall make.
No, that was crazy, dude. That was just out of this world. He pulled out. It seems like everything out of his bag yesterday,
right?
To make sure he had to finish out
and
this series.
As LeBron has proved, you know, like when you're hot, you know, anything can go down.
True.
LeBron ain't no shooter.
No, not LeBron's not a shooter, but LeBron
when LeBron's hot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
there you have it. I don't think it was more so they just had more star power in the backcourt.
Well, I think Timmy gave the best he could, like the shot he could at guarding Bill, right? I think Dennis tried to match. Like we said, Dennis did a good job of at least attempting to give John Wall something to cover. John Wall couldn't just sleep on defense, right? He had to be accountable for Dennis. But Timmy was a rough start, and then he finally kind of caught on a little midstream there towards the middle of the series, and it was like, okay, well, you know, he's his first really playoff experience. This is Tim Hardaway's really first playoff experience, getting big minutes, being a starter, so I can understand that. I'm not mad, but Bill was a load on him, because we got to be obvious. Okay, Bill's a better player than obviously Tim Hardaway Jr., but there were screens. I have to talk about this, because we KL from AtlantaHawks.com was making a good, I guess on Twitter, it was like a nice video clips of the screens that were being set by Washington that I think a lot of people were frustrated with as well. And these were screens for John Wall and a lot for Bradley Beal. But so I got to give Timmy credit for at least trying to fight over screens. But Gortat and Jason Smith and other big guys were moving a lot more than I even knew before KO put it out there publicly. So shout out to KO on that. But Timmy, I think, did the best he could. But Washington, in the end, I think, just were destined for something a little bit bigger than Atlanta. And we're going to play some audio clips from yesterday's post game of Millsap to me saying,
"Yeah, you know, that group was able to, you know, I think he was a part of the third quarter. I think he played the first 8 or 9 minutes. And, you know, we were able to make some progress. I think we cut it from 19 to 14 or 19 to 15. And then that group, you know, once we went a little bit smaller, you know, they were able to, you know, get it under 10 and then go on a run. And I think when we need to score, we need to catch up. You know, we probably got to play a little bit more spread, a little bit more offense. That's what we went with."
Is there a frustrating thing about just the chances you guys had?
Yeah, we had so many chances, man.
Thanks, bro.
Appreciate it. We go up there, lose two close games, come here, and you know, basically dominate them. And we just couldn't figure it out on the road. So, I give them credit, though. They had two guys that carried the load the entire series, and yeah, a couple of other guys that you know, were big for them. Like Donovan Smores. Those guys you know, played well for him. Brandon James was sparking here and there. So, that's what it's about this time of year, you know, finding a way.
A little fresh right now, Rashad Milliken rolling out. But how was your first full season as a starter here with the Hawks?
I mean, that's what I worked for, you know. Came here 4 years ago as a rookie. Was working hard, you know, Paul, Al Horford, Jeff Teague, they showed me great things and I kept learning. And to play a whole season, you know, as a starter, playing 30 plus minutes, it's just great. And I try to keep getting better this summer. So we're gonna make it further next season.
I think everybody was excited, you know, maybe overly excited. Shots wasn't falling, they came out blazing. Give them credit, man, they've been here before. They've been with the same group, so they know how to approach the game. With us, you know, we're still learning that.
It's a big indication, I think. That's why I put the clip in there of exactly how he looks at the team and maybe them just not being ready. No matter what, Bud tried to scramble this season to make some moves to add Ersan and Jose and thinking get some vets in there. It's just not ready yet.
So. And Schroeder said he finished his answer to me when I asked him about his first full season. Yep.
For sure.
At the end of the clip, he's like, with or without Paul. So, and then Paul made a face. And then I was like, oh, here we go. I was like, I had no idea. I thought Paul just wanted his money and the Hawks were going to offer it to him because Wrestler really liked him. But
yeah, I'm surprised Dennis said. Dennis doesn't really hope. Yeah, he'll let you know. He's an honest dude. I give him that.
Man, that's a good thing. You don't want to big up his ego and stuff like he's a superstar. So, I appreciate him. You know, he's like the team doesn't revolve around him. It's like, whether you're here or not, the team's still going to play. I like the fact that he has a competitive nature. Because you look at Cleveland, they just fell apart like after LeBron left, and then just these guys,
there's life after Millsap. Obviously there's life after Millsap.
Yeah, it's like Atlanta could probably still make the playoffs. It's not really that hard.
Especially not in the East.
Yeah, by Atlanta standards, that's a success, unfortunately. But, it's just they can make the playoffs. If somehow, some way they can. If you look at, 2013 season, they made it out Horford. Bud find a way to make it happen.
He'll make, yeah. How do y'all, I guess we can look back on the season now. And another thing to point out was, obviously, there was no Dwight in the fourth quarter yesterday again, and most of the series. There was no Thabo in the whole series, probably for 2 minutes total. And so those two guys having the ending they did. Dwight not speaking to the media after the game and dipping out on everybody. That's another thing. He didn't want to talk with he didn't want to talk with anybody. So, we kind of got used to that. He was doing that a good part of the year, just trying to dip out. But how would you guys look back on this season here? And what did they do well? What is the bright spots for the team? And then obviously what did them in the end?
It looks like going back to Dwight's signing press conference, him and Baze, they talk about they're gonna do some big things. It seems like maybe Dwight's the only person that had that in his head. It's actually hearing the news about him leaving the locker room stuff. That's actually great. I figured, in the past, being in locker rooms after playoff losses and stuff, and we lost again. It's just good to show somebody actually cares. But, it's what we expected, and it's what we expected, and, you got to line up, it's a transitional team, so, you can't really expect much. But I'm curious to see, what his thoughts were about this team, because he really – he's the one saying championship, and Millsap over here, saying it along with him. And, he usually is not outspoken about expectations, as long as I've seen him in Atlanta. And it's just, Baze, he over here, smiling and stuff in the press conference, talking about he's going to do something. But, it's just, just interesting to see, like, you know, what happens next.
I feel like the season went worse than they expected, or even I expected. You know, at the beginning of the year, I kind of told you guys that I didn't really see big expectations for them, but honestly, the team's more in flux now than it was at this point last year, and I think this playoff series put even into question how Bud's coaching ability. The way he coached these last three games, you know, without using Tabo and without having Dwight on the court. When you need a big rebound, when you need a big stop, if he's not out there for that, what is he in Atlanta for?
Yep.
And you know, seeing that Dwight, you know, leaves out, I feel he feels kind of betrayed. Like maybe they had something else they had planned to add to him, and it just didn't happen. That's kind of telling me something more was going on. And then the lack of playing time in key moments, I think it kind of is frustrating them. And
you think management like promised them something?
Hinted at something.
Yeah, that they were going to do something.
I feel like they hinted that they were going to add another player or another piece or another couple pieces, and it just didn't happen. And then at least he showed he cared. Like, that's one knock on him is that he hasn't cared, but he definitely seemed to care a lot.
Well, first of all, he cared in that first quarter yesterday. The elimination.
That's what I'm saying.
No, he came out. Yeah, he played well. He had 8 points or so, almost 8 points.
He's making his free throws
going.
He had a good series.
Yeah, he had a really good series.
They just didn't.
I mean, and in the 20 minutes he played a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started off strong.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, first of all, like we said, it's the officiating for this series was tough, man, because either the officials were either going to take him or Gortat. It felt like every first quarter, either him or Gortat was two fouls.
Yeah,
so it was tough for Dwight to really have an imprint on this series here. But when he did have time, which was, game three? I want to say game.
When he went off,
with the alley-oops with Vaze, those, like, that was his entrance to the series and everything, but it was tough for him. Like, honestly, and I think I got to give him credit for at least trying to play through it, but the officials didn't help, and obviously we're talking about Bud. Yeah, Bud with the late game decisions they're tough. And
that seat getting hot.
Yeah, definitely got hotter over this playoff series.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you're that stubborn to stick to your rotation and you need to win this win or go home, and you're sticking to your rotation, and you're down by 20 points.
And I think
are you doing?
He just pushed Tabo and maybe even Dwight out the door.
It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Oh yeah, Dwight stuck.
Well, that's Dwight 20 mil over the next.
He stuck with Atlanta until he retires.
Trust me, he'll go into that crybaby Dwight mode where he said, "I won't play then."
Yeah, well, who's gonna take that? Because, man, his reputation is already damaged. And he's trying to recover. It's like, who is it? Sacramento? That's probably the only team I think they'll probably take him. But that's if, you know, they already sit at center.
Yeah, I think they're gonna regret rushing to get him for, and I don't even know the basis of it. I know you're pretty much paying for rebounds and maybe for a storyline or whatever it was, but it actually, like, Dwight and himself didn't necessarily fit the system. He didn't really fit here, which is it's no knock on him, but for Bud's thing, you need a 4 or 5 with some type of shooting, outside shooting, or at least a little bit more mobile. And that's not a knock on Dwight. It's just he's at a different stage in his career. And it seemed like all season long, it was taking him a while to get, like, really comfortable watching him in the system. It just took a long time. It's no knock. It's just some systems are not for everybody. It's just not fit. But I don't think they actually really had that in account when they signed him. I don't know what they talked to him about in these before he signed. I don't know what the pitch was, but I never saw them, like, making a value, like, effort to, like, include him. You know what I mean? I felt like he was trying to fit in instead of them trying to help him fit in. Like, it didn't look right, but go ahead.
The first thing is, I think the idea was to have the front court of Millsap, Horford, and Howard. And, you know, Howard signed, and then Horford was like, well, I just, like, don't want to play with him, and then y'all won't give me a max. Even though they were just, like, what, 5-4 million away from the max?
Yeah, just a little bit.
So all right, so that was the first thing. The second thing, fitting in with the system, he was posting them Instagram videos all summer, like, I'm working on my jump shot.
True.
I'm going to be a shooter next year. And, you know, we were kind of like, okay, well, maybe he is going to be shooting threes with the Hawks.
Yeah, I think he attempted, like, maybe one. I don't even know if he attempted one.
He attempted, like, two or three.
But my thing is, how many mid-range shots did he attempt this year? You know, that didn't happen. I don't know what the whole point was. At a preseason, he attempted. Yeah, okay. But fair enough.
First game of the season.
Confidence thing.
Yeah, true. And that's another thing. Yeah,
right. He's making them, too.
Yeah, because I remember reading, like, after the signing and stuff, Bud talked about he coached, like, bigger teams in the past, you know, with David Robinson and Tim Duncan and stuff.
True. Different era.
I just figured, you know, you would imply that, but, you know, it just kind of sucks. You know, you lose Horford, but you wanted Horford for that system to work. And it's just like, you get the whole, you know, totally different guy. And it's just, I just really wonder, like, did Dwight really believe that, you know, Dennis Corver, Dabo, and Millsap and him can make a magical run like the 04 Pistons to the finals?
If they had signed Al Horford back, I could argue that they would be, you know, top two, top three seed, and they would definitely be more fit for what's going on in the playoffs right now.
Because he just seemed like he just didn't care. He was like, we're going to make it. You know, like, I don't care who's on the team. You know, I'm on it. We're going to make it.
That's the
attitude that he kind of gave off to me when he signed. He's just like, you know, we got Baze right here, right next to me. He's going to be.
Right.
For real, like, it's like, Rashad, you was at the conference, right?
Yep.
And it's like, you know, he just seemed like he really believed in Baze.
That's where the $4 or $5 million went for Al Horford.
Pretty much.
Houston gave Baze that big old, you know, recruiting thing, and that really gassed up Baze, like, around the league. Everybody was like, oh, man, Bazemore, he must be good.
Yeah.
Houston offered him $20 million a year.
No, seeing the responses around the league really, like, it really, like, it threw me off. Because everybody was going wild. Like you said, all these other people who really don't watch like we do, they were going like, no, they really were. I'm like watching on Twitter. I'm like, what did y'all? I don't think y'all really watched enough Hawks games to understand what we know. Like, and I know, knock on Baze, like, but he has a lot of weaknesses, and I think they just saw him as like this guy with. Go ahead.
One time last year, he had a 2-month span where he made 1 out of 24 threes, because it was like they're like, this is the first three he's hit since February, and this was in the playoffs. Jesus. He hit a three in the best.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they're like, Bazemore has been 1 for 24 for his last 20. That's one thing I remember from last season.
He's still shooting.
And he's still shooting him. And the thing about it is that, as far as Dwight is concerned, I'm not so sure if he's going to, like Dave is saying, I'm not so sure if he's going to go to Sacramento. Sacramento just got over one story, OG. You know, with exactly. And so if Dwight does indeed go into quote unquote crybaby Dwight mode, like Jeremy just said, I don't know if Sacramento is going to want to do that.
That
again.
Might not
but
be a
again,
bad thing for Atlanta, though.
It may not be a bad thing for Atlanta, but as far.
Get rid of that contract.
Right. Vivek may sign anybody.
Yeah. If they want to send us Sky Labissier, we'll take that because he can ball, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you know, that's not a bad. That's not bad.
Scott, this ain't coming, man.
No.
He's coming.
His whole, like, demeanor this season, what happened with Dwight is very, it's just confusing because he started off the season really strong. Remember we had the 9-2 start?
Yeah.
Atlanta. Yeah, and Dwight was a big part of that. And I was like, all right, well, this, maybe it's actually going to work. But midseason and as the year went on, it just seemed like he faded. His importance faded. And the playoffs, no surprise there. Washington, like you said, Walt. A lot of them were just like, look, if you're not going to have him in the game, we're just going to attack. And that's exactly what Washington did. And when they found that, you know, having Dwight out there is just – having him not in the game is just too much of a weakness for Atlanta. And they don't – and I love Millsap having the – I understand the small lineups and all that Bud likes to do, and you want to get shooters and all that. But that's only going to take you so far against a team that's so athletic capable like Washington. It just wasn't – to me, it was the wrong decision at times. I understand some of it – Dwight was in foul trouble, so you can't just throw Dwight back in the game. Like game five, if he has five fouls, you can't put him back in that early in the fourth. So I get that. You want to hold him off. But when it gets late in the fourth, like we had a chance to win in that, then I think you need to put him back in the game. So, yeah, it was – Bud's made some interesting decisions this season with Dwight. I think he – at times he did mishandle him. And I don't know how accountable he's going to be for that, but I think he should really review how he handled Dwight this season and try to see if he can implement him more, because it just seemed like Dwight wasn't really a part of the team.
Yeah, he needs to put himself in timeout, look himself in the mirror, and really think about how he treated Dwight, because that wasn't fair at all.
Dwight, I don't know. This was an interesting season, though. I first of all, covering it was cool. Shout out to, you know, Rashad, we were saying goodbyes to everybody yesterday. All the other writers, it was interesting just to try to figure this team out. But because at one point we thought we weren't going to be in the playoffs. And it like they're just going to tank it out. Isn't it funny that we lost and Chicago lost in the first, like, the way we lost in the first round? And both of us Chicago and Atlanta is two teams that we're looking like we're going to tank. Remember mid-year?
Yeah.
Both teams were like talking about let's just
trade Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, trade Jimmy Butler. Exactly. So it's like, and we both ended out in the first round like that. So it's maybe those would have been the smart choice, but they were booing Hoiberg yesterday too. Damn.
Yeah.
You saw them. They were booing him saying fire Hoiberg.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Chicago guys, I like them.
I know, right?
Exactly. You know, tough town.
Nobody boo. Nobody's going to boo. Fire Bud in Atlanta. I don't think.
I mean, on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter.
on Twitter.
fingers, man.
They ain't gonna do it in the arena.
I did not. Nobody was booing Bud yesterday.
I don't know why fans here don't do that.
Who?
I don't know. Yeah,
they do it at Georgia State.
Really?
they looked. Someone looked Miles in the eyes and said, "Why are you still here?" If y'all don't know, because this is nationally syndicated. Trent Miles, he was the old coach at Georgia State football. So like, he was walking off the field, and we were like, "What? 2-6? 2-8?" And then this dude looked Miles in the eyes, and he said, "Miles!" And he looked up at him, and he said, "Why are you still here?" And Miles just like, he just put his head down and went into the locker room.
Shout out to Trent Miles, Georgia State.
Between you and Patrick Beverly, can you talk about, you know, kind of what happened there?
Oh, yeah, he was talking about he was first team all defense, but I didn't know what the hell he was talking about because I had 42 at the time. The series... You know, I don't know what he talking about. Maybe he was dreaming of some shit. I don't know. Sorry, excuse my cuss word, but I don't know what he was talking about. But I guess he wanted to be first team all defense or something. Maybe he was dreaming about it. I don't know.
Pat, congrats on the win. Can you walk us through a little bit about kind of what did Russell Westbrook say to you in that exchange that got you so, you know, upset?
No. That's actually the first time we've exchanged words this this postseason. But he's a really good player. He applies a lot of pressure just due to his athleticism and his creating ability. But now it shocked me because he looked up and said, "No, I can guard you. I got 40 points." I'm like, "That's nice. It took 34 shots to get it." I mean, no, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but I mean. You know, men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't collectively.
Second time in three games, you guys really struggled when Russell went to the bench. You were out there for part of that. What goes on when he goes to the bench? Why is Houston so successful? And do you sense that they sort of get an energy boost just from him going out of the game?
Hold on, Steve. I don't want nobody to try to split us up. We all one team. Regardless, if I go to the bench, his team is on the floor. If I'm off the floor, we in this together. Don't split us up. Don't try to split us up. Don't try to make us go against each other. Try to make against Russell and the rest of the guys. Russell against Houston. I don't want to hear that. We in this together. We playing as a team, and that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, Russell, I'm not trying to split you up, but twice in three games, you guys have not played well at all when you've gone to the bench.
That's fine.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
Say, Russell, you ain't played well at all. Say, Russell and the team haven't played well. Don't say when Russell goes out, the team don't play well. It don't matter. We in this together.
That may be, Russell, but I asked Steven a question. And it's a legitimate
question. Between me and you. Next question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question. Next question.
What?
Next question.
No, I think we'll keep the microphone. I had a question for Steven, and it wasn't answered. And I don't understand if Steven wants to say, he still hadn't said anything. If he wants to say, "I don't want to answer that," fine. But
next question, please.
Will the Clippers be back here Sunday playing the game 7?
What?
You're feeling about, you know, your level of confidence that you'll be back here again.
What you think? I'm on the team. What you want me to say? Nah, it's over. That's what you want to hear? Yes. Come on, man. You've been doing this long enough. Seriously, right?
You can expand upon that?
No, I don't know.
Everybody in here laughing for a reason.
Zach Randolph, the most rugged guy in the game, had 0 free throws, but somehow Kawhi Leonard had 19 free throws. First half, we shot 19 shots in the paint, and we had 6 free throws. They shot 11 times in the paint, and they had 23 free throws. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Overall, 35 times we shot the ball in the paint. We had 15 free throws for the game. They shot 18 times in the paint and had 32 free throws. Kawhi shot more free throws than our whole team. Explain it to me. We don't get the respect that these guys deserve because Mike Conley doesn't go crazy. He has class and he just plays the game. But I'm not gonna let them treat us that way. You know, I know Pop's got pedigree and I'm a young rookie, but they're not gonna rook us. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. Take that for data.
All right, those are the clips there for the funny post-game first round press conferences. We had obviously Fizz there at the end. Who was the first one again? Was it
Westbrook.
Okay. So little clips there that we had to play because this is what it makes the NBA a lot more exciting than these other sports out here. Funniest one for y'all. Funniest one. Funniest
I think clip. Russell Westbrook, his best friend is Spalding.
I say Westbrook, you know, telling Stephen Adams, hold on, Stephen. And then the guy coming back and saying, what did he say?
I had a question.
It was like that was a struggle over the microphone. Like, we didn't get to see.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'll say the Chris Paul clip is cool. It's just funny because, you know, you never really see the side of Chris Paul. Like, you know, you'll see him throw a temper tantrum and stuff, but you really got to catch it. But, you know, just to hear him snap a reporter, you know, it's like, anyway.
I don't ever see that. You'll never see that.
I'm with Dave on that. Like, the Chris Paul clip, that one absolutely got me, like, rolling on the floor, like, honestly.
I'm on the team.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm on the team. What do you want me to say?
What about Paul Millsap? Take your loss and head back to the hotel.
Well, we can't even.
Hey, when he bugged like that, I was like, yo!
The crybaby thing started. Shout out to, what's his brother? Marquis' brother is what? Marcus. Marcus tweeted out yesterday, like, take your crybaby, like, cell phone, or whatever. You can now go cry at the house now, something like that. He tweeted out after the game. So that whole thing is still going.
Corny.
I was like, man, like, smiling, though, when he's saying.
Oh, when he said, it's personal now. I was like, all right, but it didn't look personal. First of all, Dennis's reaction was more funny than Paul's to me, because Dennis was like, "Oh my God!" And he put his hand. Yeah, I was like, "That was funny."
I thought Millsap was on.
Go off, yeah. I thought Millsap was good.
Chris Paul was acting angry, but Millsap.
Yeah, he's like, he got the little short man syndrome, so of course he gets mad. But Paul Millsap different. Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more anger in the voice. He sounded happy about all of this. He sounded happy that this was happening. I was like, nah, he's kind of going at your manhood a little bit. He's trying your manhood. Like,
I'm going to get him on the court. I'm going to do my little Euro, my little slow Euro step. That's what I'm
going to
do.
I'm going to
show him a
cry,
baby.
I'm going to give
him the Euro. He's like, that's what I'm going to do.
How we end up with another player like Joe Johnson?
Right.
How did we end up with a power forward version of Joe Johnson?
He looks like Joe Johnson too a little bit. Yeah, that's real. He does look, he does play like Joe. You can take Joe Johnson off the Hawks. You can't take the Hawks away from Joe Johnson. Is Joe Johnson a Hall of Famer? No, Joe Johnson is not a Hall of Famer. Okay, what he's doing in the stat-wise, you know. No, no, no. You know, last week when you guys talked about Dwight Howard being Hall of Famer, you guys had points, but you're not getting this one. Okay, no.
Can't slide this one.
No.
16 years later, still getting it done in the playoffs.
Yo, Rashad loves.
I hate you for loving Joe Johnson the way you do. God,
man, he probably will make it, but it's not. Who's gonna talk about Joe Johnson 20 years from now? 10 years.
Only
from
Joe
now.
Johnson.
Exactly.
Only Joe Johnson. He'll be riding around Arkansas talking about.
Folks ain't talking about Joe Johnson right now. It don't mean that he ain't undervalued.
I mean, he's good. I'm just saying, like, you know, 20 years. It's like Hall of Fame's not that big of a deal. It's just
not NBA. Like you said, we're all in the Hall of Fame right now. We're all in the Hall of Fame. NBA.
None of us are in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, we are. It's not. My point is, it's easy. Go ahead, dude.
It's like, it's plenty of good players, but everybody just talk about Jordan all the time.
No. We got to stop this with somebody averages more than 20 points a year. They just go to the Hall of Fame. That's not what the Hall of Fame is. I'm sorry.
Brandon Roy going to the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
He can stay healthy.
Yeah, he could, but he
would have. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying Joe Johnson did what Brandon Roy did for 16 years.
And Brandon, whoa! Yeah.
I say.
Brandon Roy was carrying a franchise, really.
All right, 2004 to now. So that 13 years, Joe Johnson been doing this.
Joe Johnson only cared. He only cared the franchise for like 4 years because he was only in Atlanta and he only was like helping them win for 4 years. He wasn't.
Joe Johnson took a 13-win team to become a team that's made the playoffs 10 years in a row. Hello.
The year Al Horford got drafted by the Hawks, they went to the playoffs the next year.
I know that. But without Joe Johnson, you're not even in that position.
As soon as Joe Johnson left, the Hawks still made the playoffs the next 5 years.
But you know, Joe put him in that position. You know what I'm saying? It's just like Mike Bibby. You know what I'm saying? Mike Bibby really took the Hawks to the next level because with Joe Johnson and Anthony Johnson and Ty Lue and A.C. Law and Al Horford and Speedy Claxton, all them boys, you know, they weren't about to go to the playoffs. Like, they was, like, teetering on that A.C., you know what I'm saying? When Mike Bibby came, it was a lot for the A.C., and that got the Hawks in the position to make the playoffs every year.
Mike Bibby was out there looking like a newborn baby. Go ahead.
So you want me to put somebody in the Hall of Fame because they got somebody the eighth seed? They didn't win a championship. They got them the eighth seed.
No player in the NBA has hit more game winners in the last 10 years than Joe Johnson. Explain that to me.
No player in the NFL has more comebacks than Matt Ryan, but he ain't got a Super Bowl ring now, does he?
He's got an MVP and he's got a Super Bowl appearance, so he probably going to the Hall of Fame.
But Matt Ryan, how we get on Matt? Okay, I don't even want to talk, but I like it's a good point. But
Matt Ryan is Joe Johnson right now at this point.
Wow.
But Matt Ryan probably going to the Hall of Fame, is he not?
No.
No,
I don't think Matt Ryan's going to.
It's still up in the air, but if Matt Ryan get one more good, if he gets another 2016, it's a done deal.
But Matt Ryan is going to win a Super Bowl. We know that. That's going to happen. Joe Johnson is not winning a championship.
As long as he's in this city.
It's different criteria. Like with the NBA,
exactly.
You're going to see somebody like McGrady in there. But, you know, but
McGrady for sure.
But, you know, Carter. NFL, you got quarterbacks with two Super Bowl rings that are not in. It's
Eli Manning gone.
It's like they look.
No, he's not.
It's like.
Yes, he is.
It's like a different criteria. So
it's the only quarterback to beat Tom Brady.
Stretch your career.
Like, thank you.
NBA looks like moments. They look at moments and they just like, wow, what did he give us for this period of time? And like, then
so you guys,
you're in the Hall of Fame.
It's like the Kimbe Mutombo and his defense. You know, he wasn't like somebody who's going, you know, compare to Kareem Jabbar. Two different types of players, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
But what did he do for the game internationally? That's why Yao Ming's in there too.
Yeah, Yao Ming want to play with 5-6 years.
Yeah,
that's international. Yeah, being like an ambassador or whatnot. That's what he's in there for. I get
that.
We're
gonna put players in the Hall of Fame on the basis of game winners. You know who else wanna be in the Hall of Fame? Robert
Ori.
Thank you. So you're saying Robert Ori is pretty much Joe Johnson?
Joe Johnson made the All-Star team 7 times. He was All NBA third team in like 2010. So those are two completely different players.
Didn't Ori finish his career with 6-7 rings?
Joe Johnson's career.
Thank you.
I respect you. Like, you really know Joe Johnson's stats. Like,
oh, my God.
That was your guy. Joe Johnson, we don't miss you, though.
But yeah, Millsap, you know, definitely curious going forth goes with him. Because, I mean, I can imagine, like, you know, he's going to be another Hawk that goes to another team and probably get a ring.
Oh, my God.
And really? Everybody's going to talk about, like, how good he is being back as a third option. So,
if Millsap goes to win the championship next year, how's everybody going to feel in this room? Millsap goes
salty.
To Salty. You're going to be mad Millsap is holding up a trophy.
But who would he go to?
Yo, if Korver wins one this year, that'll be
true. I won't be mad at Korver. I'll be mad. He deserves one. Because where he's been his career.
He's a nice guy. You know, white.
I don't even think that.
We're doing so well. He's a nice, you know, nice family, you know, Christian values, you know, always in the church, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was traded, so.
And then he cried when he left, so that means he really wanted to be here.
Yeah. Because, you know, that Buckhead church, bro.
That Buckhead church?
Like, nobody got it. I mean, like, you know. I don't think fans gonna be that mad if he leaves. You know, they're gonna burn their Hawks programs. You know, they ain't got a Millsap jerseys.
They was mad when Horford left, though. Phil burned his jersey. A couple other people.
Phil burned his jersey. What's wrong with you?
He put it on Periscope.
That way, y'all burned
the way he left.
And then he left to the enemy.
And then dissing Atlanta in the process, talking about, oh, Boston has better fans.
But what about one of them boys, the Boston Big Three? They still shunning out Ray Allen after all these. They going to be some old men shunning out Ray Allen.
He deserves it. You talking about KG, Rondo, and Paul Pierce. They didn't invite him, what, to some meeting?
And then Paul Pierce, he had a retirement thing, right, with the Players Tribune, where he was at his house and KG was at his house. It was kind of like they were supposed to be natural hanging out that house, even though they had a whole camera crew and microphones and all that. But, you know, he's talking about his retirement and all that. So, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm like, yo, Ray Allen retired too. He got free time. Y'all can bring him in.
He like Ray who?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he officially retired.
Yeah.
You see how you know, time away from the game just makes the legacy get better. Because Ray Allen, all of a sudden, we were like, we could add this piece, and he can push us over the top. But he was in Miami his last year. You know, they were like, well, should we even keep Ray Allen? Can we even use Ray Allen anymore? His knees are so bad, he's done. But
over time,
people were like, oh, he could push us over the top. Even the Hawks considered him, like, the Eastern Conference Finals year. Yeah.
But the worst one was 08 with the Boston Celtics, talking about Reggie Miller. Y'all remember that? Reggie Miller retired in 04. They talking about in 08 with the Big Three. They was like, the Celtics can get Reggie Miller. And Reggie Miller called in the games. And he like, nah, man, I'm happy being retired talking about basketball.
I mean, it's buyout season, you know, right after trade deadline, you know, get all the old bones get overrated.
True.
It's like
the washed.
Yeah, it's like everybody. It's like
the Washington.
It's like he got that veteran experience. He just he's gonna put us over the top. Like, you know, they're hyping up Darren Williams and
Joel Smith was the guy that was hyped in free agency. Like I remember when the Hawks got him, like, Hawks fans was like, yes, we needed Joel Smith.
You see how sad we are?
Now we gonna win a championship.
You see how sad we are?
We got happy when we got Eric Dampier. It's bad.
Damn, he don't do nothing but fouls. That's how you know that.
He was 6 fouls.
He don't do nothing but, yeah, give me 6 fouls.
He had gray in his beard.
That is the life of the Atlanta sports man.
Because I remember, you know, Atlanta they always do a stupid trade, you know, so it's like, who are they going to add? It's like, Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh, my God. That's the same. Okay, Jerry and McGrady were here at the same time, right?
Yeah.
That's when they both came.
I saw a picture. It was a picture of them in training camp, and it's the coolest thing ever because they all wearing Hawks jerseys, and it's Joe Johnson, Tracy McGrady, and Jerry Stackhouse.
That's our Big Three?
It was the coolest Hawks picture I've seen, bro.
Oh, stop it. Oh, my God.
Is Jerry Stackhouse a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. No.
No.
He's a North Carolina. He's a Tar Heel Hall.
Well, then Joe Johnson's not a Hall of Famer. They had the same career path. Sure.
What about Ray Allen?
Ray Allen is a Hall of Famer. Because he did his Jesus Shuttlesworth. He got to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
It's off that movie alone. Like, shout out to Rosario.
Yeah, Rosario. Whatever her name is. Dawson.
Oh. Yeah. Shout out to her real quick, Mama. What's that name?
We
got 5 right now.
Like,
shout out to Eric Andre.
Would Joe Jersey get retired, or the Horfords? What, Millsaps?
Oh, I think Joe Johnson is getting retired.
Who out of those three would get retired? Who has the best chance of getting retired?
Joe Johnson.
Like, you know, Hawks standards. So, you know, you got Michael Jordan jerseys hanging around at different arenas, even though he didn't play for him. So,
yeah.
I don't know how Atlanta's criteria is, but, you know, they just now did Pistol Pete, which is too long.
I was like, Pistol Pete now, I was like, oh, we're a little late.
Bro, he been gone for about... Yeah,
it's been a minute. That's all surprised. I was like, okay.
It's that RP, you know, long live Pistol, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I'll say Millsap gets his...
Jason Collier.
Holford was here the longest, right?
But the way he left, he can't ever come to Atlanta again. Where the Soldier Boy?
Honey guns.
Oh no!
Atlanta's not that hostile.
Yeah, we are.
It's like, you know,
they are.
Listen, you're not welcome back. No, you can't come back. I'm sorry.
The way he got booed shows you Atlanta fans are hostile.
There ain't that many of them. It's just like.
Let me show you my story on Al Horford when you return, and then you'll see.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just like with, this is Atlanta's a melting pot. It's not like New York or Philly and stuff.
But with Al Horford, they do not like Al Horford. I'm telling you, they don't like Al Horford. He got booed loudly. The last game, he got booed loudly. No, that was the game when Dwight checked in the game, remember?
Oh, they were going back and forth. Okay, yeah. My ex-girlfriend.
They were good. Horford could be in Buckhead, nothing's going to happen. He's going to be smiling.
You think so?
Atlanta's not that type of town. There's too much going on. Nobody cares about sports like this.
Oh man! And plus, there's all these, you know, transients, you know, from all these other cities. So Atlanta has a lot of fans from a lot of other towns as well. But like I said, it's about the way that he left. Like, all he had to do was take his Boston check, put on his Boston Celtics uniform, and maybe he would have been potentially, you know, welcome back. But the fact that he left and went to the Boston media and dissed Atlanta fans. That was when Atlanta fans were like, oh yeah, you want to diss us? You know, we got something for you, man.
Let me say something real quick. I said that the other day, but we ain't as bad as it may seem with what our fans, people see from the outside and whatnot. Washington, y'all ain't no better. All right, I was there game 5 and y'all are trash. And Verizon Center, it took forever for y'all. I know it's a 6 o'clock game, but y'all, I don't want to hear none of y'all talk about Atlanta fans, because y'all didn't show up there until about the second quarter. And then y'all got there and y'all was still waiting, sitting on your hands. Y'all weren't even cheering. John Wall had to get y'all out of y'all seat. So I don't want to hear none from Wizards fans. I wasn't impressed at all by Washington fans. That's it. Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. That's all red. That's football. Just like, I guess, you know, it's in the South, it's football. I get it. But they're not even really a Southern. I don't feel the Southern vibe from them.
They're mid-Atlantic more so than anything
else. Yeah, they're more like this.
They've kind of like straddled the two.
Wait, but then they should love basketball. They should be called basketball. Yeah, true.
We don't speak of their name. They're the Washington football franchise.
Wow. That's what you're going to say?
It's so disrespectful.
We don't say the Cleveland baseball team. We don't say the Washington football team.
And we don't say the New England football team either.
Yo.
That's not up for discussion.
But speaking of that, draft just happened the other day. Tock, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Shout out to him, man.
It means everything to me.
Get
to the quarterback, man.
What's
up, bro? You in the suit, bro. You in the pants, bro.
I think he's going to rip his suit. This dude. Why
got a Falcons jersey on his
dude was ready. I tell you, like, me and Rashad talking about, like, Deion looked real uncomfortable. Deion Sanders are like, I got what we about to do here. Like, hold on, bro. What we doing?
He said, you ain't about to get me fined.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, Deion, they ain't going to find you because he cussed. It don't work like that, bro.
That's our first round pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to him, man.
Shout out to Top.
Top, man. You. I think he looked like he's from Atlanta. Right? He looked like he's part of Migos. He got the dreads and everything. He looked like he's been from Atlanta. So, welcome to the city. I don't know. Where should be his first spot? Go to, I ain't going to say that on the dash. I ain't gonna say. Go to
Zaxby's.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
Braves game. Go to Braves. You got a lot of options here, man. So what's happening? What's up? Come on, and we're gonna get him on the show. We're gonna get him on
the world of Coke.
We're gonna get him on the A League. We need to get him.
Yeah,
on
yo, man.
We need to get him on the A League to say what's up to the city.
Great episode.
Shout out to Talk, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see he's a big wrestling fan.
Is it? He looked like he actually.
Yeah, Booker T.
The Falcons Twitter, they posted up how, like, him and his grandma used to watch wrestling on Monday and Friday. And
that's
like,
dope.
Pretty dope. Dude.
That's dope.
Yeah. He's a SpongeBob fan, too. He said, for the draft, I'm ready. That's what he did in the video, bro. I was like, this man too big for that.
That's my age right there, man. He's SpongeBob was showing. I was coming up Rugrats with the show.
Yeah, I watched
Rugrats.
I watched both. I watched both of that. Yeah, I watched both.
Y'all saying like 5 years so far apart.
SpongeBob is, I watched like every episode of, I know too much of SpongeBob.
SpongeBob didn't get popular until like, you know, after the reruns and then after like they got into the 2000s because early part of SpongeBob nobody paid attention to it.
It was supposed to be an adult show.
Because like the SpongeBob is way funnier now to me when
really?
I'm when I was in college. Cause
oh, no, because we understand. Like,
you get a lot of jokes.
Yeah, that's like, hey, Arnold. Yeah. Arnold's a lot of hidden jokes.
I mean, I peaked SpongeBob, but, you know, Dragon Ball Z kind of.
Dragon Ball Z was a cool
thing. But even Dragon Ball Z, to our generation, Dragon Ball Z was re-shown to us, which it came out in 1989. So we got the reruns of it. So that's just like our SpongeBob.
That's like the international. That's because we just, like, the international release was before us, right? They got it a couple years before. I think
they got it in Japan in the 80s.
And then even some other markets.
Went straight from Hong Kong. Folks used to print out the pictures and try to draw them. I don't know if they did that.
Yeah, they did that. We bought the coloring books.
Oh man, they did that up here too.
The book fair, that's all I got. You get coloring books, and then I used to get the NBA books. That's all I got with the pictures in it.
Oh, yeah, and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon cards, and Game Boy colors.
Those were the days.
That had, like, I never got the advanced Game Boy one. I was like, I'm just going to stick with this one. Like, everybody was hopping on the advanced.
I got the SP. I got the SP.
I skipped
advanced. I went from color to SP.
Oh, yeah, Dreamcast was pretty big. Yeah, it was Afro Thunder and Ready to Rumble. That's what it was.
I know they had 2K. They had, like, the first thing. Like football
2K.
NFL 2K.
2K5? Yeah, best football game of all time. Yeah. NFL, ESPN, NFL 2K5.
Speaking of ESPN, let's get this in real quick. ESPN layoffs. I'm sure everybody's reading up on it and hearing about what's going on there at a network that we all probably grew up like wanting to be a part of, maybe in some way. I don't know if everybody, I won't speak for everybody, but you know, it was like the leader, number one, and now they've laid off some of the biggest writers, NBA writers especially, in the industry completely. And yesterday was they had Mark Stein, right? Mark Stein got let go. Henry Abba who got a lot of people the start. Yeah, True Hoop gave a lot of people their start, man. He really just trying to change the game when it comes to NBA coverage, and especially with blogs and all that kind of stuff. He did a great job. So True Hoop TV's done as well, which is just, that's one of the best podcasts like right now. True Hoop TV podcast is really good, outside of us obviously. But shout out to everybody who did some great work there. ESPN, it's going to be a bidding war for a lot of them. And it was the first one I saw that threw me off was Ethan Strauss. I don't know, everybody. Ethan Strauss is like he's excellent. Ethan is like one of the best writers, period. He got let go like last week or so. That kind of set the tone for it. Like anybody could get it. Yeah.
Just the general census behind different things. Like some people say, you know, it's like the fact that ESPN overpaid for MLB, NBA, NFL, but some people just say it's ratings, you know, so it's just like different.
I would agree with
our generation isn't paying for cable. We aren't watching TV legally. Therefore, you're not going to have the ratings and the money you need to support all the money that you're putting into the programming.
How many of us even here, like, actually go home and watch ESPN if you have to, you know, like, if you had the time, you sit down and watch ESPN, is that, like, one of your, or is it, like, has it changed? Over the years, has it changed where you just, maybe you'll catch ESPN when you can, but you're not subscribing to it and trying to watch it all the time?
It's one of those things that are just kind of on in the background now. Like, I used to just sit down and faithfully just listen to every word and watch every highlight because I could see the highlights of what happened. Now it's a bunch of talk, and I don't really do talk that well. Just like just sitting and listening to somebody talk about an opinion about what happened, just show me what happened. But it's just kind of one of those things that's just on in the background nowadays, and I don't really pay attention to what's going on. I just kind of I hear something I like, I'm interested in, my ears pick up, I listen, and I go back to what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's just different coming up. Like, you know, you have, I watched a lot of NFL Live, sports reporters, you know, shows like that, and just now it's, you know, you got a lot of, like, it used to be, you used to see a lot of rappers being on shows and stuff. Now you see it a lot.
Yeah.
It's just more mainstream now, rather than, it's just like more like, you know, ESPN, obviously, to be honest, I don't even know what ESPN stands for.
Yeah.
Well, anybody knows?
No.
I think it's Entertainment Sports Premier Network. That's not it. That's definitely not it.
We're gonna go with that.
That's definitely not it. The E is dang. I know this. Like,
all I know is the worldwide leader in sports is their slogan. So I just go with that. I just like, all right, you're the worldwide, then whatever. You know, we'll go with that.
How much do you think, you know, having them hiring all these former athletes to take the place of actual journalists? How much is that kind of taken away from the not only the quality, but you know, made it more opinion based because these people have been in the positions that a lot of these athletes. Because I noticed that, you know, I don't pay attention as much because I'll hear an athlete talking. I'm like, okay, cool, he's a cool athlete, and I watch him play, but he's not a journalist.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
It just depends on what they talk about. Like, of course, I like to hear like, how the process, like at the, you know, it's one thing hearing like reporters, like, you know, according to my sources and like so and so are talking and stuff, and you know, like some, like I listen to like 92.9 and you know, like, you know, Hugh Douglas, you know, just in hearing like ESPN, like Herm, like former GM, you know, former head coach and stuff, get the coaches side and stuff, yeah. You know, just that's one aspect I like, but I do notice it is starting to become like all over.
That's all. TNT's doing the same thing where they do player nights.
Players
right?
only. Yeah.
Players only, and it's like you see more. KG got his own, which I love Area 21 to that. That's really, it's a good idea, but yeah.
For a supplement.
Yeah, but
not as your mainstream of news and not as your main it, like we're almost to a point where the anchors are gonna be former athletes. Like the guy, one of the guys that does SportsCenter used to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
So, you know, when is it kind of crossing the line, you know? And you're starting to eliminate journalists altogether.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have the Players Tribune, and you know, like that kind of is like a that kind of represents how the market's looking now. Like players obviously want their own voice, and with all of the technology we have, they can have their own voice now. They can speak up for themselves. We can, as journalists, right here. Like it makes it a lot tougher for us to speak. We never want to speak for them, but reporting in itself, I think this whole thing was going to ESPN is like really a shot at reporting as well. Like they're getting rid of a lot of just reporting, period, and they're more putting more money into TV, and we know Woj is coming on, right? Woj with Yahoo.
More than likely, they're bringing him on.
He's coming on, so he's gonna have all the breaking stuff. I don't know what they have in store with that, but you can see that there's a complete turn away from reporting, and I mean that's pretty. It's pretty sad, especially being in the industry and looking up to, you know, idolizing that and wanting to be involved with that. It's kind of disheartening, but it's. I mean, industry changes every like 5 years, so it's a cycle of what happens.
I think what happens with the industry, you made a great point as far as you know about reporting, is that reporting I feel like is really suffering because of the financial decisions, kind of like what David made. But I feel like those financial decisions that ESPN made, potentially overpaying for Major League Baseball, overpaying for NBA, overpaying for NFL, overpaying for college football and basketball, I feel like those decisions were made because the sports marketplace is much more competitive than it was 20 years ago. Because now everybody's got, there are dozens of 24-hour sports networks. You got NBC with their network, CBS, Fox. I mean, all the regional sports networks that NBC and Fox own. And then as I keep on talking with David about, it's only a matter of time, I believe, before you know you get Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime involved in the sports game as well. Like I think it's only
Netflix. I think Netflix will end up in
sports too.
Yeah, I know Amazon Prime just got Thursday Night Football. Man.
Really?
Yeah. So you know,
Twitter had it. Right?
Twitter had it last year. Prime has it. It's I know it's a couple of years for the deal gets up. You know the deals have to be done over again. And I know NBA recently redid theirs. So definitely interesting to see like that going forward. But I do notice like you know with Westbrook, they talk about like how his words, you know, his reporters kind of sucks with it. Like players like him that's getting covered, and, you know, they try to make an agenda and stuff like that. And now you know they're more protected than ever. Then you got players.
Players are more protected.
Yeah, and you got players coming out, you know, taking these positions, talking and stuff. You look at like Kobe retired, but it's like we need to put Kobe on the network. And I was just like, why?
Yeah. Tony Romo got a job immediately. Like they out a job.
Yeah, no. He won one playoff game.
I'm not, and it's like, and I'm not. I think they should I don't know how do you get in contact with. Realize what your consumers want to hear. I don't know how many people really want to hear Tony Romo. I'm not trying to be biased. I mean, whatever he did.
he was successful because what he went undrafted, right? Or Tony? Yeah, I get his story is great. Yeah, it's a great story, but I don't know if that translates to, oh, I want to hear what he has to say throughout the entire game. I don't see why the jump there. But obviously, you're a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. You get all the, you know, you get all these like incentives.
But he moved the New York Giants quarterback out who had won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Phil Simms had won.
Now he's going to the studio now. Phil Simms is like in the studio. I saw that. Yeah, and that's messed up. Yeah.
Kind of personality expect them to have. To,
yeah.
Like different, you know, these different personalities. Some of them they expect them to be throwing shade at Dallas every time just to irritate them. I think he does two Dallas games this year, and it's like, they expect him to kind of take shots at Dak? Are they really.
What is this all for? Like, yeah, what was the point of having Tony in there?
What's your reaction to Dallas game? You know, just
yeah. Like, I don't give the Tony thing, but. It's
good he's not on Fox.
No. Shout out to Fox.
There's some people that naturally do. You can tell they're going to be pretty good. Like Strahan, you know, he was a natural.
Strahan's really good.
Well, no, I'm
Strahan's good.
Let me clarify. That wasn't a shot at Fox. I'm just saying, since Fox does NFC and, like, Cowboys every week gets the game of the week. Yeah, hey.
Oh, no.
Hey.
I was just saying, you know, some players are actually good at TV. Just Strahan up to
true.
Strahan is like the Wayne Brady of football.
Yeah, now it's just
he does everything. All right.
Yeah, now it's just, put everybody who retires on there. So Peyton, I believe Peyton had offers too, and just
everybody. Yeah, all the great ones get offers.
Tim Tebow's gonna get offers too when he's done with the Columbia.
Yeah, I mean, he was already doing it for SEC.
Yeah, for SEC Network.
I mean, like in college, you know, you had the guy from North Carolina. Game winner, and it's like he probably
have
a radio job.
Jay Williams?
No.
Elite 8 dude, the white dude that just hit it.
Oh, yeah.
It went like to his 8 o'clock. Like
really?
Yeah.
So if he ain't gonna make it to the league, but he's gonna have a radio job in North Carolina for the rest of his life.
It's like, damn. Yeah.
They
like,
right, though.
Yeah. They right. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up this episode here. Once again, we're on Dash Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes, A League One is the Twitter handle. Really appreciate y'all for listening. Just hit us up with whatever topics you want us to cover before the week. We do once a week. Once a week we record and then we release on Mondays. Our show goes live Mondays. So guys, hit us up. Let us know what you want to talk about maybe for the week. We'll definitely try to get it in there. Yaboa NBA is my Twitter. Go to hawksoup.com for the latest on Atlanta. Also 16 Rings. Shout out to them. Doing some coverage with them this season. And also B-Ball Breakdown.
RashadMilligan.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Baller Network.
Yeah.
So you the fourth ball, brother?
Okay.
Jeremy Johnson, Clark_Kent_75. I get my Superman on. I'm going to go ahead and say this, though. With the draft, the Falcons are going to win at least two out of the next three Super Bowls.
I can't
cook. That defense looking nice. Shout out to Duke Riley.
This is David. Twitter is Norwood90.
And I'm just going to keep it short, simple, and sweet. Akeem Baylum, AKIEM, BAILUM. Twitter, Graham, BeyondTheW.com. Check it out.